All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Chaf Vav 26. We are picking up on Chaf He Amud Beis 25b, and we are picking up at the bottom two dots, which is going to be six lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Afa pi shabor kodemes le'ilon lo yikos, shezeh chofer besoch shalo, vezeh notea besoch shalo. So remember again, the Mishnah espouses the principle about the concept of the setback from the Elon from the bar, and as well as in the event that there is a conflict between the Elon and the bar, who is responsible to remedy the conflict. The Mishnah then brought down the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi pretty much says anyone could do whatever they want in their respective property. As long as I'm operating within my property lines, I can do whatever I want, even if it turns out that as a result of my actions, you are negatively impacted. So Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara is going to define the scope of Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says the name of Shmuel, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's principle again is, Zeh Oseh B'Soch Shalo, V'Zeh Oseh B'Soch Shalo. Each one does whatever he wants within his property. I can't impinge on you, you can't impinge on me. Am Rav Ashi, Ki Avon Be'Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says the following, when I was in the home of Rav Kahana, Hava Aminon, they would say, Modi Rabbi Yossi Begirei Didei. That Rabbi Yossi was Moda, Girei Didei. So also we've seen this concept already a number of different times. Girei Didei, or Girei Delay, depending on the Girsa, ultimately means the following. First, I'll take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Halacha Rabbi Yossi, Shalanizak Laharchis Esatzmo. So the first thing the Gemara says over here, the name of Shmuel, is that Halacha Lamaisa, we pass in like Rabbi Yossi, namely, that it is incumbent upon the damaged party to distance himself. It is not the damager who must distance. Rather, again, it is the damaged party who must distance. Comes along Rav Ashi and says, when I was in the yeshiva Rav Kahana, so they said, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that Begirei Didei, it is ala mazik laharchik. As well, so what does that mean? Rabbi Yossi, the paradigmatic case that the Gemara is using over here is the following. With that the Mishnah says, I have to distance an Elon from the bar 25 amos. So if I have a tree and my neighbor has a bar, I have to make sure that I plant my Elon at least 25 amos away from the bar. What's the logic behind that? The logic behind that is because the roots can grow in and damage the bar. Rabbi Yossi says, don't worry about it, right? As long as I'm operating legally in my property, Reuven's operating legally in his property, it's not an issue. Says the Gemara, why does Rabbi Yossi hold that? That's because it was at the time that I planted my tree, what's happening? Nothing's happening. The concern is that over time, the roots will grow out and the roots could damage the bar. Now that may or may not happen. But one thing is for sure, at the point that I'm planting the tree, nothing is happening. That's when Rabbi Yossi says that you could do whatever you want in your property. But if my actions directly, negatively impact the other, that's called Girei Didei, my arrows, then even Rabbi Yossi says, you cannot operate unchecked in your property. Take a look at Rashi. But actually, not yet. So the Gemara's Begirei Didei. So Papoi Yonah Ashir. Ani Beheshir. So listen to this. The Gemara tells him Maisa. So Papoi Yonah, that was his name. He was a poor person, and then he became rich. Bona Apadna. So what did he do when he became rich? He built for himself a mansion. Havu Hanach Atrei B'Sheusei. Dechi Havu Daiki Shum Shemi. So in the neighborhood that he was living, there were guys who used to crush sesame seeds. Right? I guess they make sesame seed oil or sesame seed powder, whatever it is. They ran a sesame seed mill. So what happens? The mill was so strong, was so intense, that the vibrations caused the walls of Papoy Yonah's home to shake. So the mansion was shaking. So remember, Papoy Yonah, Papa Yonah came to Rav Ashi and he said the following: Amar Lei Ki Avon Be Rav Kahana Hava Aminon Modi Rabbi Yossi Begirei Didei. So remember, so Papa Yonah says the following. Papa Yonah says, listen, I know we pass like Rabbi Yossi, but when I was in the home of Rav Ashi, I heard that Rav Ashi qualified this statement by saying, when do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? That's only when it's not girei delay. That's only when the person in his property is not directly impacting, negatively impacting the person in the neighboring property. But in this case over here, what the sesame seed guys are doing is directly impacting me because the vibrations of their grounding are causing my home to shake. So there's a direct negative consequence upon me. Therefore, they should be ordered to stop. To which the Gemara says, V'kama, top of Chavav. So we'll say, here's the interesting question. This is actually an interesting Shaila, which is, so how much vibration is considered to be a disruption for the neighbor? It's an interesting Shaila. It is, how do we gauge how much vibration is considered to be an interruption? Top of Chavav Amad Aleph, Kedinayid Niksima Apumei Dechatzma. So this is interesting. Essentially, if the lid of the barrel vibrates off the barrel, then you know you're in trouble. In other words, we'll say, so if you can imagine over here, if the barrel has a lid, and the lid is resting, you know, not firmly planted in, but the lid is resting, and the vibrations are so intense that the lid falls off, then that already indicates a level of damage that is being inflicted upon the neighbor. So if I will say, Papa, no, you know, I was saying, even though I accept the premise that we pass in like Rabbi Yossi, which is that each party could do whatever they want in their own property, Rabbi Yossi, what that means is that right now, no one's inflicting damage upon anyone else. So Rabbi Yossi essentially says, listen, live and let live. No one's actively doing anything now. It's fine. But even Rabbi Yossi agrees that when it's girei delay, when it's his own arrows, which is another way of saying he's causing direct damage to his neighbor, that you can't say, well, listen, I could do whatever I want in my property. You could do whatever you want in your property, but if you directly, negatively impact your neighbor, you cannot engage in that activity. So the Mark tells another story over here. Debei Rab Merion Berei Diravin. So we'll say, in the house of Bar Merion, right, who was the son of Rabin, Kavinafti Kisna, Hava Azli Riksa, Umaska Inshi. So we'll say, what happens when they would beat their flax? So, you know, when you beat flax, there's some type of residue that comes off. So the residue was going into the neighbor's yard and was adversely impacting the neighbor, was adversely impacting people. So they came before Ravina because they wanted to get Bar Merion to stop. So what happens? Amar Luhu. So Ravina said, Ki Amrina Mod Rabbi Yossi Begirei Delay, Hani Mili De Ka Azlu Mikochol, Hacha Zekohu De Kamimatile. So Ravina said, listen, I don't know what you want me to do, because even when we say that Rabbi Yossi holds that when it's Girei Delay, when it's your own arrows, when you are directly negatively impacting someone, so you have to stop your activity, that's only when Rabbi Yossi, that's when the negative action is coming, or I should say the negative consequence is coming about as a result of my actions. But in this case, what's happening? The members of Bar Merion's household are beating the flax. And what happens? The wind comes along. And it's the wind that takes, I don't know what the technical term is, you know, called the flax residue. It's taking the flax residue and transporting it to the neighboring chatzar. So you can't call that. You can't call that girei delay. That's not called his own arrows. That's ultimately, again, that's the wind doing its part. To which the rest of it, one second. Maskefla ma baravashi. Maishna mizora. So in other words, what Ravino seemed to be saying is, Ravosai, that when the wind takes the object, the damaging object, and transports it to a different place, then Lamai said, that's not called my arrow. That's not called girei delay. So says the Gemara, but one second, that's not true. There's a malacha of Shabbos, of Zora. Zora, Ravosai, essentially is called winnowing. Winnowing. Now, how do you violate the malacha of Zora? So Ravosai, the way they used to winnow was, you would take your wheat, you would throw it up in the air, and the wind would come and blow away the chaff. Right? There are two ways, to use the more familiar term, we call this borer. So there are two different ways in which one could go ahead and do winnowing and do Zora. You could either be Zorabically, you could literally like take a sifter and move back. But the easier way was, you took a day where there was some wind, right? You've seen pictures of this, right? They would take the fork, you would, I don't know if it's called the fork, but they would take the fork, you dig it into the grain, you throw the grain up, the wind would come, blow away the chaff, and the wheat would settle back into the pile. I'm sorry? But nevertheless, you see from here that use of the wind is still called my force. Because if you do that on Shabbos, you are chayiv for that. So how can you say that wind is not considered to be girei didei? to which the Gemara says, Amruk me demereimar. So they said this over before Mereimar. Amr the who, Hainu Zavruach Mesayaito, Uravina Maishna Miget. So both say, so therefore they said this over before Mereimar. And ultimately, again, Mereimar said, you're right. The truth is, this case of the flax is no different than the case of the winnowing. Therefore, again, we would say that the members of Bar Merion's house are directly damaging the neighbors. It's Girei Didei, and therefore they should be ordered to cease and desist, even what? Even according to Rabbi Yossi. So it says, the Gemara, Ul Ravina Maishna Megetz Hayotze Mitachas HaPatish VeHizik V'Chai L'Shem. So we'll say, now, according to Ravina, now Ravina still apparently paskin that Lamaisa, the members of Bar Merion's house don't have to stop with the beating of the flax, because he still felt that Lamaisa, again, since it was the wind that was carrying the flax residue, therefore, again, they should not be chayiv, to which the Gemara says, well, why should this be different than the case of the spark that flies out from underneath the hammer, Vezik? So, I imagine the following scene. I'm forging metal is the right term. So what happens? I go ahead and I'm forging metal. I'm slamming down my hammer against the metal. A spark flies out and goes ahead and damages your property. What's the halacha? Chayiv l'shalim. Right? So we'll say, I'm chayiv to go ahead and pay for that. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Getz, hayotzeis mina barzal kishapatish makishalav. This is the spark that flies out from the hammer, this flies out from the metal, when the hammer comes down against it. Chayiv v'hari holichan aruach. Now we'll say, remember again, how does that spark get from my property to my neighbor's property? The wind. And yet what? You see that I'm chayiv. To which Ravina will say, here's the difference. Hasam nechalei delezel hacha. Delezel. We'll say, here's the difference. In the case of the spark, it is in my best interest. I don't want that spark to land here. I want that spark to go elsewhere. Now, lav dafka, that I want that spark to go ahead and damage my neighbor's property. But the point is, I want that spark to go somewhere else. Why? Because the Maisa, I don't want that spark damaging my property. So my kavana is that it moves away. Look at Rashi. He says, Nechale delezel, luchutz, shlo yadlik es beso. I would rather this move away from my property order than not set my house on fire. Hacha, lo nechale delezel. I'll say, on the other hand, the Maisa, again, by the case of the flax, the people of Bar Merion's household, they don't care if the flax residue leaves the property. I mean, for all they care, it could fall right on the ground there. They don't need it to go anywhere. It happens to be that the wind takes it and takes it on its own. So we'll say, so again, how do we paskin in this machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? So I will say, interestingly enough, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We paskin that Kishem Shazet, this is the Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kun Kuf Nun He Sif Lamed Beis. And we pass, I'll just read to you the last line of the Shulchan Aruch, Kishem Shazet Chofer Besok Shalo, Kach Zet Notea Besok Shalo. So I will say, the way we paskin is, you can do what you want in your property, I could do what I want in my property, but again, to be explicitly clear, this is when, at this point in time, neither of us is going ahead and adversely impacting the other. So for example, if you have a bar in your property, and I want to plant a tree, so remember again, the Tanakhama will say, well, you need a 25-hour setback, because those roots can grow out. Rabbi Yossi will say, no, I don't. Why? Because at the time that I'm planting the tree, I will say, what am I doing to my neighbor? Nothing. So because I'm not doing anything right now, we say, Zeo sebesok shalo, v'zeo sebesok shalo. And I will say, what happens if the roots grow out? So we will discuss that. There is a remedy for that. But at least Lamaisa, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that Aloha Lamaisa, again, Aloha Lamaisa, we say that Zeo sebesok shalo, v'zeo sebesok shalo. Furthermore, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the other respect as well, which we say, Al Hanizak Laharchis es atzmo. That at the end of the day, if I'm being damaged by someone else, the responsibility is upon the damaged party. The party is being damaged to distance himself from the source of the damage. That is a principle that we will espouse a bit more in coming sugyas. But that's the passage. Pasuk Rabbi Yossi on both of those counts. Number one, ala nizak laharchis es atzmo. Number two, ze'ose besok shalo, ve'ze'ose besok shalo. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah, lo yita adam ilan samach l'sadach haveiro. A person should not plant a tree next to his friend's field. Ela im kein hirchik mimenu arba amos. So let's remember again, this has nothing to do with roots. Right? Because remember, in this case, there's no barn in the neighboring field. This has nothing to do with roots. Rather, the Mishnah says, I cannot plant my tree next to my friend's field within Dalet Amma. So we'll say, what's the logic behind this? Because again, we actually saw this before. Remember, if I have a tree, I need room for the plow to get around that tree. If I'm planting the tree right next to my friend's property, then what's going to happen? My plow is going to go on his property. I need to leave there for at least Dalet Amos by the property line. Dalet Amos is the necessary amount to be able to get, or to be able to maneuver the plow without having to go on my friend's property. So the Gemara says, Echad Gifanim ve'echad Kalilan. This is true whether, again, I have vines. This is true whether I have a tree. There is always a setback of 4 Amos from the property line in order that there is room to navigate the plow. Haya Geder Ben Sayim. So let's say we have a fence. I have a fence with my neighbor. Then zes somich legeder mikan, v'zes somich legeder mikan. So we'll say if there's a fence, then what? I could plant as close to that fence as I want. I can't maneuver the plow. That's my problem, because I will say once there's a wall, once there's a fence, then what? I can't plow on my neighbor's property. Next, we'll say here we get now into the roots. Hayir shirashim yotzei l'sof shel chavero. So we'll say let's say there are roots from my tree that grow into my friend's property. So what's the halacha? Ma'amik gimel tvachim, kedei shlo ya'akiv machrish. So this is an interesting halacha. So if I have roots from my tree that are growing into my friend's yard, so my friend, we'll call him Ruvain. Ruvain has the right to dig down 3 tvachim into his ground, into his earth, and uproot my roots. Why 3 tvachim? Because we'll say 3 tvachim is the depth of the blade of the plow. He doesn't want his plow getting caught on roots because that could ruin the plow. Therefore, he has the right to cut back my roots up to a depth of 3 tefachim. So the Gemara says, "Hayachofer bor siachumara." I will say, now that's fine for plowing. What happens, however, if Reuven wants to go ahead and dig a pit? Siachumara. I will say these are all different types of siachumara. Is a rectangular pit, a deeper pit, all right, a roofed pit. So in all of these cases, kotzei tviyori dva'etim shlo. So I will say in all of these cases, I could dig down as deep as I need to. I could remove any roots that are in the way of my digging, va'itzim shalom, and he gets to keep the etzim, he gets to keep the wood of the roots. Now, the shadow we're going to discuss is, who is the he? Right? Who is the he? Who's getting to keep the wood? Who's getting to keep the roots? Is it Reuven, or is it me, the owner of the tree? That we'll see. Says the Gemara Tana, Arba Amos Shomar Kedei Havol Vesakeren. So we'll say, when we say that the Mishnah says that there has to be a setback, a 4 Amos setback from the property line, that's in order that what? That's in order that my plow could get around it without it having to go into the neighboring field. So Amar Shmuel lo shanu ela ba'aretz Yisrael. So says Shmuel, that's only true in Eretz Yisrael. Aval bebavel shtei amos. Rabbi say in Bavel, all you need is 2 amos. Rabbi say, so what's the difference between plowing in Eretz Yisrael, plowing in Bavel? So watch this. In Eretz Yisrael, they needed much more significant plows. Why? Because the soil in Eretz Yisrael is much rockier. In Bavel, the soil is much finer, so you can accomplish a lot even with a smaller plow. So in Eretz Yisrael, you need an area of 4 amos in order to navigate your plow. In Bavel, you only require ultimately a plow, or I should say an area of 2 amos to navigate your plow. That supports this. The Braisa says you can only plant your tree next to the field of your friend if there's a setback of 2 amos. Aye, but that's a contradiction. First wide line. But yeah, we learned 4 amos. We learned you need 4 amos in the Mishnah. Rather, it must be like Shmuel said. The Mishnah is talking about Eretz Yisrael, and the Braisa is talking about Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, you need 4 amos because the soil is rockier. You need a more zaftig plow. But in Bavel, ultimately, again, the soil is finer, and therefore, again, all you need is 2 amos to navigate that plow. The Ikudrama the Mirma. Suppose there are others who arrange this exchange as a question. What's the question? Tanan, we learned, Lo yita adam ilan samoch l'sadeh chaveiro, ele imkein hirchak mimenu 4 amos. So we learned that a person should not plant the tree next to the field of his friend, unless, of course, he distanced it dal ramas. I have a hot tanya shtamas. Also, we learned in a brisa that you only need two hamas. Amr Shmuel lo kashya kan bebavel kan beretz Yisrael. It's not a contradiction. I'm also rather two different places. The Mishnah is talking about Eretz Yisrael, and the brisa is talking about Babel. Good. So says the Gemara the following: Rava bar Rav Hanan havule hano dikli. I'm Mr. De Pardisi Rav Yosef. So this is a riveting maisa. So listen to this. So we'll say, so Rava Bar Rav Hanan had palm trees. Okay, so Rava has the palm trees, and he is a neighbor with Rav Yosef. We'll say, can you imagine that neighborhood? Right, so Rava's living in one house, Rav Yosef is the neighbor. Can you imagine the property values, right? And that amazing. So Rava, so we'll say, so listen to this. So Rava has palm trees. Right next to the Pardes, right next to the orchard of Rav Yosef. Actually, in this case, Pardes, as we're going to see, really means a vineyard. Okay, so what happens? Havu asu tzipori. So birds would come. Yosvi bidikle. They would sit on the palm trees of Rava. Fenachsi bipardes umafsi dele. And I will say, what happens? After the birds were perched on the palm trees of Rava, they would swoop down into the vineyard of Rav Yosef, and they would damage the vineyard. Amar lei zilkotz. Rav Yosef said to Rava, you need to cut down your palm trees, or at least cut back your palm trees. And we'll say, Rav Yosef's taina was like this. Rav Yosef was saying to Rava, essentially your palm trees are like the staging area for the birds to destroy my property. So your palm trees essentially are enabling the birds to directly destroy my vineyard. You need to cut them back. Amar lei, v'ha achikili. So Rava says, what do you want from me? I distanced my palm trees, Dalit Amis, from your property. In other words, I did halachically what I was obligated to do. So said back Rav Yosef, that setback was for trees. So that setback of Dalit Amis is when you have trees and your neighbor has trees. But if your neighbor has a vineyard, that setback must be even more. To which Rava responds, Rav Yosef, that's not what the Mishnah says. But we learned, Echad Gifanim ve'echad Kalilan. But yet we learned that the setback of Rav Yosef is independent of what your neighbor has planted, whether he has vines or whether he has trees. Amarlei, to which Rav Yosef responded, Hani mili ilan le'ilan, u'gifanim le'gifanim. That is true when both neighbors have the same like item planted. Aval ilan le'gifanim ba'inan tfei, Rav Yosef. But says Rav Yosef to Rava, when one neighbor has vines and the other neighbor has a tree, there is even a greater setback that is demanded. So listen to this. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So now, this exchange is fascinating. So Rava says to Rav Yosef, essentially, fine. You've convinced me that perhaps I should cut down the trees. But I'm going to be honest with you. Ana lo kayatzna. I am not cutting down the trees. Right? Great argument, I'm not cutting down the trees. Now, we'll say, now you're going to see why. Now, remember, these are fruit-bearing trees. I'm not cutting down the trees. Domarav, hay dikla de ta'in kaba, asul miksie. Because Rav said that Rav Yosef, if you have a palm tree that produces at least a kav of fruits, you're not allowed to cut it down. Rav Yosef, remember, this falls under the category of what? A bal tashchis. I'm not cutting down a fruit tree. I'm not cutting down. Rav Yosef, now I want to be clear, by the way. It's not real bal tashchis. The halacha is, bal tashchis means unnecessary, wanton destruction of fruit trees. If there is a need, because, you know, this question comes up all the time. Let's say somebody's doing work on their house or something. They happen to have a fruit tree. So you could cut down the fruit tree if you're expanding your home and you need that property. Because that's not called unnecessary. Unnecessary is kishmo keinu, unnecessary. So on a technical level, I will say, if there's a halachic mandate to cut down the fruit tree because it's impeding on someone else's property, on a technical level, that's not called bal tashchis. But yet still, Rava says, I'm not cutting it down. He says, "Va'amar Rav Chanina." Listen to this. This is a very dramatic statement. Rav Chanina said, "Lo shachiv shichas bri, ela dekatz teinasa b'lo zimne." And Rav Chanina said, "My son shichas only died because he cut down a sapling of a fig tree." So in other words, we'll say, so Rav Chanina attributed the premature death of his son to the act of cutting down the sapling of a fruit tree. So essentially, Rav says, I'm not doing it. I'm not, even if you want to say I should do it, I'm not doing it. But look at the offer that Rav says, Mar inechale likots, right? But what does he say? But if you would like to cut it down, by all means. Rava says, like, after this whole maysa, right? So Rava says to Rav Yosef, if you would like to go ahead and cut it down, I absolutely give you, I yield. I yield meaning I agree with you that you are correct, but I'm not cutting down the tree. If you would like to come into my property and cut down the tree, you absolutely have every right to do so. So the Gemara says the following, Rav Papa, Havalei, Hano Dikali Amitzah Dirafuna Braid Rav Yoshua. So listen to this. Rav Papa had palm trees, so Rav Papa had his field, and he had palm trees, and he bordered the field of Rav Huna Braid Rav Yoshua. Okay? So Rav Papa's got the palm trees, Rav Huna's got nothing. I don't mean got nothing, meaning he's got nothing going on in this field. So what happens? Azal Ashkechei, so I will say one day, Rav Papa comes home, and Azal Ashkechei to have a chafer v'kakait shrashav. So Rav Papa comes home one day, he finds Rav Huna digging in Rav Huna's field. Right? Rav Huna's digging in his own field, no problem so far. But what is Rav Huna doing? Rav Huna is cutting back the roots of Rav Papa's palm trees that have grown into his field. He's cutting back the roots. Are they my high? So to which Rav Papa says, "What's up?" Right, meaning what's going on over here? What are you doing? Amarle Tanan. To which Rav Huna responded, "Amarle Tanan, how you shrashim yotze the social chavero ma'a mikshlosha kedesh liakiv macharisha." To which Rav Huna responds, "Rav Papa, listen, Rav Papa, there is a Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that if your neighbor's roots grow into your field, you are permitted to cut back the roots to a depth of 3 tefachim, in order that what? In order that they not interfere with the plow." So essentially, if we're going to say, listen, I'm thinking about doing some plowing, so I'm going ahead and digging down and cutting back your roots up to 3 tefachim. Amar lei, hani milishlosha. To which Rav Papa responds to Rav Huna, that's fine. The license of the Mishnah is what? To go to a depth of 3 tefachim. You're going to town over here. You're going much deeper than 3 tefachim. Amar lei, ana boros sichinu ma'oros kachafarna. To which Rav Huna responds to Rav Papa, because I'm not plowing. What am I doing? I'm digging ditches. Right? I'm digging boros. So remember again, what does the Mishnah say about boros? The Mishnah says that for boros, what? You go down as much as you need to, and you can cut back whatever roots you need. This nana yechofer bar siachumara kotzeitz v'yorid va'etzim shalo. Amar Papa, amri le kulhi v'lo yochli le. So also listen to this. Look at Rashi. Amri le kulhi heveti lo rayos harbe shal yakos. So Rav Papa said, listen, I unloaded my Talmudic arsenal, and I gave him every single argument I possibly could that should tell him that he should not be allowed to cut back the roots. Amadeus, ad the amr leha, until he said to me the following: ad the amr leha, the amr of Yehuda, meitzer shech ziku bo rabim aser lekalkalo. So we'll say ultimately again that Papa said the final convincing argument I was able to make to him was the following. Well, so we actually touched on this, so it's a fascinating halacha. If you have a strip of land to which the rabbim laid claim, if you have a strip of land that these, well, so this comes up all the time. I have property, I buy a house, and it turns out that what? I find out, of course, the original owner happened to leave out this piece of information, which is my backyard happens to be the neighborhood cut through. Right? Everyone, Klal Yisrael, like Kriyas Yamsuf over here, right? You know, Sheshmos Rivavos Ish come through my backyard every single Shabbos to get to shul. Right? Now, again, so my, of course, my reflexive reaction is, no, my reflexive reaction is, Baruch Hashem, if I could be Mahana another Jew. Of course, I'm going to bring up, I'm going to set up Danish and coffee, you know, I'm going to make a mamash like a whole Eishel out there. But after that, it could be my wife is not as happy with it, right? So what happens? I will say, this comes up all of the time, where you have a Meitzer Shech Zikro Boravim. You have a pathway that has become established as a public thoroughfare over time. So we'll say, so by the way, again, we will actually get into this, so again, discuss what happens with pathways like this, but for our purposes today, let's assume right now that once the rabbin has laid claim, and once the rabbin says, we have used this for a sustained period of time, an individual does not have the right to take back that piece of property. Look at Rashi. Sheikh Ziku bo rabbin, la soso lahen, derech, asra the kalkolo, afa pishu shal yochid, va'ano nami ha achzikili. So what is Rav Papa saying to Rav Huna? Rav Papa saying, listen, I have a chazoka for my roots on your land. How so? those roots didn't just spring up there. Those roots have been there for years. So I essentially have a chazaka that my roots could occupy your subterranean space. I have a subterranean chazaka. Therefore, again, you have no rights to now cut back my roots. So this is the argument that Rav Papa advances to Rav Huna. The basar dinafak, supposed to listen to this. So Rav Papa leaves, and of course Rav Papa is very happy. Why is Rav Papa happy? Because Rav Papa essentially has gotten Rav Huna to stop cutting back the roots. So after Rav Papa leaves, Amri Bosa, you know, you ever have an exchange like this where somebody gets the last word, and after they leave, you're reviewing the conversation in your head, and you say to yourself, oh, why didn't I say this? Or why didn't I say that? So Rav Papa leaves, and Rav Huna says, I should have. So this is now Rav Huna saying, why didn't I retort? Why didn't I say back to Rav Papa? Kan besok sheshes ve'amah, kan chutz l'sheshes ve'amah. We'll say, here's what we're going to establish. The halacha is, as we're going to see, a tree draws nutrients primarily from the first 16 amos of roots. So roots that extend past the first 16 amos are not really primary or necessary for the nutrients and nutrition nourishment of the tree. So when do we say, so what Rav Huna says back to Rav Papa, when is it that you have a chazaka for your roots? When is that? At most, that's when the first 16 amos of roots, because those are the primary root area. But after 16 amos of roots, you have no chazaka. And it turns out that what part of the root system was Rav Huna uprooting? He was uprooting from, we'll call it, the 17th amo and on. He was not touching the first 16 amos of the root system, and therefore really it should have been within his rights to go ahead and dig down and uproot that root system. Rashi says, "Besoch shesh yisrei amo, li'ilon havya chazaka, di'ilon aval chutz l'shesh yisrei amo, in cheskasu chazaka." Rav Papa, even if you want to taina this whole root chazaka thing, that's only for the first 16 amos of roots. After the first 16 amos of roots, there is no chazaka. Why? Simply because those roots are not necessary for ultimately the endurance of the tree. So again, Rav Papa bested Rav Huna in the verbal exchange, and after it's over, Rav Huna says, "Oh, I can't believe I didn't respond. I should have answered so and so." Good. Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that Lamaisa, if I'm going ahead and digging down to dig a pit of some sort, that halachas, Rabbi said, you could go down as much as you want. So remember again, two different halachas. Halacha number one is that for agricultural purposes, I can only go down 3 tefachim, because that's the amount of area I need to clear in order to allow the plow to go uninterrupted. However, if I'm digging a bar, so then halacha l'maisa again, I could go down, I could cut back the roots as deep as I need. And he gets to keep the eitzim. Who the he is, we'll discuss in just a moment. Baimine Yaakov Hadaiba Meirav Chista. So what's that? Yaakov Hadaiba, and Rashi says over here, Dimin Hadyab. He was from the city of Hadyab. Okay? He asked him, Rav Chista, Eitzim Shlomi. So the Mishnah says that the neighbor has the right to dig down. So remember, I have a tree. My roots extend into Reuven's field. Reuven wants to dig a bar. He could cut back my roots as deep as he needs to in order to go ahead and make his bar. So remember again, and we said that the wood of the roots belongs to him. Who is the him? So who's the him? Eitzim Shlomi. Amar Leitinisua. We learned Shrashe Ilan. Listen to this case. You have a tree, a non-consecrated tree, just a regular tree. And what happens? Habo'in b'shalag. So also imagine this case. I have a field, and I planted a tree in my field. It happens to be I neighbor a field of hekdish. My roots go into the neighbor's field. Now the neighbor in this case is the Beis HaMikdash. So also say, my roots grow in there. What happens? Lo nanin v'lo maulin. So also say, so the halacha is, I really shouldn't get any benefit from those roots that grow into the neighboring Hekdish field. Rashi points out, Lo Nanin Midrabanan. So Midrabanan, we say, you know what? Because those roots are in a Hekdish field, you shouldn't get Hanoah from it. V'lo Molim. Rabbi will say, if I did dig up those roots, right? and I got benefit from it, there is no me'ilah. Rabbi say, what does that show if there's no me'ilah? Why is there no me'ilah? There's no me'ilah because they're not hekdish. Why is it not hekdish? Because even though it's growing into hekdish property, we assume that the identity of the roots is established by what? By the identity of the tree. And since the tree is a quote-unquote chulin tree, therefore the roots are chulin roots as well. So we'll say, if you say that the identity of the roots goes after the tree, so mishum haki lamalin, we'll say that's why there's no din of mi'ilah, because the identity of the roots is forged by the tree. The tree is chulin, therefore again the roots will be chulin as well. If you say that the identity of the roots is forged by how? By the identity ultimately of the property, then what? Amai lo moalin. Then ultimately again, why is there no mi'ilah? In other words, so you understand the ramifications of this discussion is not only for mi'ilah purposes. We'll say this goes to the core of our question. We're trying to figure out what, right? We've established that Reuven has the right to cut back my roots if he wants to dig a bar. The shaila is what? Shaila is what? Who gets to keep the wood of the roots? So the Gemara is suggesting, again, we could kind of glean the answer from that, from this case of Hekdish. What the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that there's a chulin tree whose roots grow into Hekdish land. Those roots are not Hekdish, which tell you that what? Which tell you that those roots belong to the tree, which would then tell me that what? And in this case, where Reuven's digging down, he has every right to cut back my roots, but who does the roots belong to? Me, the owner of the tree. To which the Gemara says, Ema Seifa, El Elamai, rather you have to say, Basr Ilan Azlinan. Both said that the identity, and therefore by extension the ownership of the roots, are established by who? Are established by the owner of the tree. And therefore again, in this case, Shabosai, even though Reuven has the right to dig down, cut back my roots, the roots themselves belong to me. I, but Ema Seifa, yet look at the end. Look at the end of this braisa. Shal hekdish habo'in b'shal hegyot. Yet it will say, if you have a tree of hekdish that ultimately what extends into hegyot, regular property, lo nanin v'lo mo'alin. So we'll say in that case as well, one ideally at least midrabanu should not get hana from those roots. But if you did so, there's no me'ilah. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, the basra ilan azlina. But if you see that the identity of the roots is forged by the identity of the tree, then if this is a tree of hekdish, then the roots should be hekdish as well. Amai lo moalin. Then ultimately, again, why would one not be responsible for me'ilah? To which the Gemara says, mi de irya bigidulin habo'in la'achar mikanaskinan. We'll say, what are we dealing with over here? This is a case of what we call gidulin habo'in la'achar mikan. Then I will say, now gidulin habo'in la'achar mikan means growths that come about after one has consecrated the item. They're both saying that this in general is an interesting discussion about if you're makdish an item, and then that item, quote unquote, grows. Do we assume that the hekdish status devolves upon the growth or not? That is a machlokes. So the Gemara says that's what's called gidul and avon achas. Remember, in this case over here, what's happened? I've been makdish a tree, and then what happens? Baruch Hashem, the tree sprouts roots. So what do we say about the status of those roots? Are those roots hekdish or not? Vekasavar ein meulin meila begidulin. And I will say this particular opinion holds that what? There is no me'ilah when it comes to growths that come after the me'ilah, after the hekdish consecration. And that's why I will say, even if the tree itself is hekdish, the roots themselves, the roots that grow, the roots that are there at the time of the hekdish, they become me'ilah. But the roots that grow afterwards, I will say, they become part of the hekdish. The roots that grow afterwards will not be subject to the prohibition of me'ilah. Ravina says, no, there's a different distinction. Lokasha. So we'll say, Ravina goes back ultimately again to the previous distinction, which is, it depends. Roots of first 16 amos of roots that are necessary for the nourishment of the tree, those roots have the status of the tree itself. But ultimately, roots that extend past the first 16 amos, which are not necessary, ultimately, again, for the nourishment of the tree, those roots have the status of the field and not the status of the tree. So we'll stop over here. We'll share with you a short vart on the parasha, but understand what's happening now. What's happening now is we're leaving a little bit kind of in the middle of this sugya. So we leave off with the machlokes ultimately of, well, not machlokes, we leave off with the ambiguity as to who is the owner of the roots. Is the owner of the roots ultimately, again, the owner of the tree, or is the owner of the roots the owner of the field? So that still remains to be seen. We'll resolve that machlokes in Eretz Hashem in coming dap. So we'll say, no, that's why you're not touching the first 16 amos. That's why the Gemara keeps making that distinction. No one could touch any roots within the first 16 amos. Post 16 is when you could cut it. So what's the mission?